A New York Times bestseller and top 10 book of the year, lauded by critics nationwide, Small Fry by Lisa Brennan Jobs, is a smart, frank, and captivating coming-of-age memoir by the daughter of artist Chrisanne Brennan and Apple co-founder Steve Jobs. Born on a farm and named in a field by her parents, Lisa's childhood unfolded in a rapidly changing Silicon Valley. It is part portrait of a complex family, part love letter to California in the 70s and 80s. The name of the memoir is Small Fry, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Lisa Brennan Jobs to the roundtable this morning. Lisa, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me at the virtual roundtable.
It is indeed a virtual roundtable. Give us a sense of the book has been out for a year and has been quite celebrated. It is beautiful. It is just a stunning book. What has it been like for you to live with it for the past year in talking about it and living with it as an object and people obviously knowing a lot more about you than they did before it came out?
I think it's been kind of wonderful to have it out there. I think one of the things that I didn't know about memoir or about telling a story is that when it goes out in a book and people read it and have their own responses and their own feelings about it, they in some sense metabolize all of your stories so that you're not the only one holding all of your stories. Everyone and all of the feelings around your stories, there are many people who are sharing in the joy and the burden of it. And I have felt that way. Like I'm now in some sort of community of people who maybe laugh and cry and have thoughts about and feelings about what happened in my childhood, and I somehow feel less alone. So that felt good. I also, by the way, had a baby during this time.
Yeah.
And he was born just before the book came out. He was born in April. And so I have been in a kind of tunnel of parenthood. Someone said recently that being a new parent felt like having a fire hose pointed at her face. And so in some ways I haven't really been experiencing the birth of the book because I really needed to be present for the baby. I didn't read any reviews. I've gone to readings and done shows, and I've really enjoyed that, but I haven't really been a part of the discussion so much because I needed to kind of not be on any kind of roller coaster of emotions. Sometimes the reviews, from what I've heard, will review the book not the way I would review the book. And so even if the reviews have been, I've heard very, very positive, it doesn't necessarily mean that all the reviewers are reviewing the book I wrote. And so I haven't really wanted to be part of that discussion because I haven't wanted to be thrust up and down by other people's opinions. The other wonderful thing about writing the book is I said what I needed to say, and so there's been a kind of peace. I mean, I could probably go on and answer you for 50 minutes about this.
Well, it fascinates me, though, and I think your point is very well taken that there, especially with the birth of a child, that you say, well, okay, let the book go do what it needs to do, and I'll be here and tap me on the shoulder when you're done. I do think, though, it's one thing is an interviewer, so my job is to point these things out, which you certainly don't need any help with. But it is interesting to me that your book looks at your childhood through the lens of both of seeing it through a child's eye and then also seeing it through an adult eye, which is fascinating as you enter parenthood.
It's a wonderful thing you get to do when you do a memoir, right? You get to go back and hold the hand of your child self with the perspective of an adult. So you can keep yourself company when you didn't know what the future would be and you didn't have the vocabulary or the perspective to understand life as well as you do now. And so you get to flit back and forth between those two states, both for the reader and for yourself. And I really enjoyed getting to go back to the child self and see how she saw things again and see and get to spend time with my young parents again. And I did feel that there was, as I said, a kind of peace that that came over the whole process. Not because everything was resolved or every, you know, childhood is, my mom likes to say sometimes, no one survives childhood, they just grow up. You know, it's like you, at a certain point, it's a project that's abandoned and you grow up. It's not like everything's resolved. And yet, it was so important to go back and understand some things I hadn't understood as closely and as clearly before. Another thing my mother was encouraging me to write the memoir, because she felt like if you don't come to terms with your own history, you repeat it. And I felt like this is a terrible cliche. We've heard this with world history and we've heard this with personal history. And, oh, brother, the last thing I want to do is be a kid of a celebrity who writes a memoir. Shoot me. So I was trying not to be this person for a long time, even though I am a writer. But then it sort of did become important to go and come to terms with things and to understand things more closely. And I think that when I had gone back and understood, like, for example, my father was sometimes so awkward. We would be together and he wouldn't speak. And I think as a child, you think, what's wrong with me? He doesn't want to talk with me. And then as an adult, going back and remembering those times, they kind of opened up for me, because I realized, oh, he was just incredibly awkward with children. It wasn't me. And yet, even though he was awkward with children, he was spending a lot of, he had decided he wanted to get to know me after sort of ditching the scene in many ways when I was born. And he came back and he was really trying, despite how awkward he was and how difficult it was. And that perspective is something I never would have known, because I wouldn't have taken the time to revisit it. But it turned out it was very important for me to go back and revisit some of these things before I had my own child, to answer some of these questions. Because I think sometimes unanswered questions become the things we repeat because we have certain blind spots for them, or we just assume that's the way things are always, were always done and should always be done, or we carry around some burden of, I wasn't interesting, so he didn't want to talk with me. Or something. And then when we go back and investigate, it turns out that wasn't the truth at all. And so one of the things I've had since the book came out is just a kind of striking relief that I went through and I combed through these experiences and found meaning from them before I had a child. And, you know, for two reasons. One, because I hope that I'll be a better and more alive and parent with my child. And also because having a child, I realize how time-consuming children are at every level. And, you know, time energetically consumed. They're just consuming, as they should be. But it would have been very hard to take the time I needed to do this book with him in tow.
I would think in your wife, pre-book, in your wife, there is the elephant in the room that is your father. And then in writing the book, there would be the elephant in the room that is your father. And now in this part of the equation, which is the promotion and talking about the book, there's the elephant in the room, which is your father. So do you come to terms with that? And the way that you come to terms with it, in one way, does that necessarily transcend in another way? The way that you dealt with that elephant in the room in your life and the way that you dealt with it in the book, are they the same? And is it those same skills in understanding it? And then when you go out and promote it of having to obviously talk about it and talk around it.
There seems to be a lot less shame now.
Yeah.
There seems to be a lot less shame now. So, and I don't think that that's necessarily unique to me. I think that that might be part of the human condition. That we feel, I mean, think about children and how they feel so incredibly ashamed about things that if they were to tell us as adults, we would say, oh, that's nothing to feel ashamed of. That's everyone. You know, that's just the human condition.
Right.
But they take upon themselves so much responsibility and burden. And I think that the words elephant in the room imply a kind of dark secret, something that no one's really talking about. So one of the differences for the promotion of the memoir versus living my life is that now I have told the story the way that feels honest and delightful and meaningful to me. And so it seems to me that after this, I get to turn away from that story and move on to other things in my career. It felt to me like I was a writer, unfortunately born into this celebrity family, but that I hadn't necessarily chosen it, and I had to kind of come to terms with that before I was going to get the chance to write other things. I hoped desperately to have another story that I was able to write before this one. But this one just kept on coming up, and it felt like if I could get through this one, then I would get to move on. And so it does feel like I have to, in the promotion of this book, obviously, continuously brush off questions about my father that aren't particularly relevant to my story. And I have to explicitly share him with the world in ways that are difficult for me, because for me, he's just my father. But in some ways, coming to terms with so many of the feelings that I had and the confusions I had, and getting to spend my own unadulterated time with him as my father, not as everyone else's,
right,
has felt very meaningful to me. You know, has relieved me of a burden, and I hope in the future it will mean I get to go on and do other things.
In the minute and a half you left, but I would like to just add one other thing to it. Oh, and oh, by the way, you're writing this while I assume you're grieving, too.
Yeah, grief is a strange animal, isn't it?
Yeah.
I got incredibly hungry and incredibly tired, and grief sort of takes its own time. There was something useful about, or meaningful, about getting to spend time with my young parents again. It had gone by so quickly. It had been this beautiful flash of light. They were so young, so charismatic. They were trying so hard, even as they were failing in certain ways. And so it was a kind of balm to get to go spend that time when my mother is no longer young, I'm no longer young, and my father is no longer with us. And so in that way, it was a kind of helpful answer to grieving as well.
The book is beautiful. It's entitled Small Fry. It is out in paperback now from Grove Press. Lisa Brennan-Jobs, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
Thank you so much.
Great pleasure. Thank you very much. Again, Lisa Brennan-Jobs is the author of the new book Small Fry, a memoir. It is out in paperback from Grove Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.